When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. When I thought
so I could live. Thank you for the cross that you have carried. Thank you for your blood that was shed. You took the weight of sin upon your shoulders. You sacrificed your life that I may live. Now nothing is holding me back from you. Your payment of my soul. Nothing can hold me back from you. Your love will never let me go.
Thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you for the power of your blood.
Thank you, Lord.
I am overwhelmed by your affection.
Thank you, Lord.
The kindness and the greatness.
the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things under the earth, nor things above the earth, neither present nor future, nothing in all of creation can hold us back from the love of God." Can we just give God a big hand of praise for his love that conquers all? Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you today. Jesus, we offer love back to you because you first loved us. There is no one like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Jesus. Just take one more moment and just picture the love of Jesus right where you are. Forget about everything else. And just receive his love. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray today that you would soften our hearts toward you, that you would melt our hearts today, that you would turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Father, let our hearts be like wax before you. Melt us, God, in your presence. Mold us, shape us, lead us into your perfect will. And God, we especially today thank you for the love of a Father that you give to us, that you are the perfect Father, that you are good to us, a good Father who gives good gifts to his children. Nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Father, in heaven or earth. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There's nobody like you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Shukaranda baba basanda. Just another 30 seconds. Just pray in the Spirit. Right where you are. Kuro tara lele yara shanti de kizusuka. Ero santi de lele lele aya santu. Kuri shande de lele ay santu rodare yara sanda la la de dedicatu. Ore shande de lele lele ay santu roko baba yasa. Shindari do koro na lele yara sande de do koshkiti karondaka. Eso la 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 lele yasa na da 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 de. Can you feel him in the room? Come on, give God a big hand of praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes the praise is difficult to contain. When God loves you the way He does, when God has saved us the way He has, when God works miracles the way He does, it is difficult to contain our praise for the infinite, almighty El Shaddai, the one who made us, the one who created us, the one who gives us our life. Hallelujah! 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 Let's sing it one more time. Sing it again. Nothing is holding us back from the love of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, you can be seated. God is so good to us. He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. We're so glad you're here today. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in online or by television today, thank you for joining us. Well, today is a very special day. We know that these are different times that we're living in, and we've all been facing challenges, and it's been difficult, not just for those of us who work, but for those of us who have been in school. Right in the middle of the spring semester, the world changed. Classes went online. Instead of getting up and going to school in a physical building early in the morning, students would get up, and they would spend all day on a video call in classrooms virtually. And I'm convinced that the new word for 2020 will be Zoom out, where students have been Zoomed out. They have been burnt out all day. Pastors know it. Leaders know it. Spending all day on video calls. And so we want to recognize today our graduating seniors for 2020. And I'm going to ask them to come forward. We have a remarkable set of students today. Can we just give them a hand as they make their way forward? Come on, let's give them a big round of applause. We are so proud of you guys. They came decked out today. We wanted to make sure in this uncertain year that they got a chance to walk across a stage wearing their cap and gown. Come on, let's give these guys a big round of applause. They deserve it. You guys have done something that I don't think any other graduating class has done in the history of our nation. So you deserve it. You deserve it. This is unprecedented. And I just want to tell you a little bit about each one of them really quickly. We have Bryson Berry right here, who's going to be studying economics at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota. Bryson has spent much of his time in China, and so he brings a very unique perspective to his studies and to our church. So we're very proud of you, Bryson. Zach, we are so proud of you, Zach. Zach is going to be, he's going to be playing, now I had to make notes because I didn't want to mess this up. This is too important to mess up. Zach is going to be playing soccer at Paul D. Camp in Franklin, Virginia. So let's give him a big round of applause. And Alden is going to be playing baseball at Mid-Atlantic Christian University in Elizabeth City. I'm telling you, we have tons of talent on this stage right here. And Alyssa Byram will be playing softball at Pitt Community College in Greenville. We are so proud of all of you. We're going to present you with a gift this morning from Carpenter Shop Church. You'll see it. It's going to be representative of the year 2020. We are so happy to bless you guys today, and we just want to pray over you that God will continue to direct your paths. Let's pray. Would you stretch your hands forward toward these young people? Father, we just thank you. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for your perfection. We thank you that you are perfect in all your ways, God. Lord, that in a year when the world has been upended, you declare over these young people that nothing will hold them back. Nothing, Father, nothing under heaven or earth can hold them back because they walk with you, Father. I speak a blessing over each one of them, that you would lead them, that you would continue to guide them, Father, that you would protect them from the enemy, Lord. We declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We declare that they are yours. We declare that they belong to you. We declare, Father, that you know the plans you have for them, plans to prosper them and not to harm them, to give them a hope and a future. Lord, I just speak direction over their lives. I speak clarity over their lives, God, that they would seek you in all their ways, Father, that you would make their path straight, Father, as they lean not on their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you. You will direct their paths. Lord, I thank you for protecting them from the influences of the world. God, I thank you for protecting them from secularism. Father, I thank you for protecting them from the ideas that they will encounter while they are in school. Lord, I thank you for the foundation that you have given them here in this church, Father. The foundation that you have given them in their hearts, Lord, as they walk with you in relationship. Lord, I speak life in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you, and I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give these guys one more big hand. Come on, one more big hand. You guys can be seated. Hallelujah. That is so exciting, isn't it? Praise God. Well, at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings.
George, I made it inside. I don't think anybody sees me yet. I'm just checking it out. I'm just spying on them now. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to be quiet. I don't want anybody to see me. Whoa! Oh, man, you guys scare me. We gotta be quiet here. Shh. Man, what are you all doing here? I thought I was all alone. Oh, you wanted to come on another epic adventure with me? We've gotta be super quiet. Why is that? Why do we have to be quiet? Because we are sneaking around inside the Promised Land. You guys remember about the Promised Land, right? We said the Promised Land was a place where George and his family were gonna move and they could have all the things that they needed to be happy and to be healthy. But there was only one problem. Do you guys remember what the problem was? That's right. There were some lions and some hyenas inside the Promised Land. If they catch us here, they're going to eat us up. They'll have Ranger G tacos with a side of friends. That's you guys. Guess what? We're coming inside today
And we are going to just spy on them and see if we can find out if they have any weaknesses. What's that you say? It looks like we're inside of a pizza shop. It looks like we're just here to eat pizza. Well, you know what I say? Nay, nay. You don't know how lucky we are, guys. Chef Spaghetti, he owns this Papa John's, and he said he would let us hide in here so that we couldn't be seen by the lions and the hyenas. And if they came after us, he would do his best to keep us safe. I took a really big risk getting in here, and you guys, man, you took a really big risk sneaking in behind me. But you know what? Sometimes we have to take big risk if we want to get things done. Guys, do you think it's okay for us to take risks sometimes? Do you guys hear that? I think it's the lions and the hyenas at the door. Shh, everybody be quiet. Sounds like Chef Spaghetti. He's talking to them. Don't worry, guys. We're gonna be okay.
I gotta stop it.
Shh, shh, shh. Monkeys. George, I'm trying to be quiet here. The lions and hyenas, they're right outside the door. And all our friends are here. We don't want to get eaten. What do you want? Really? Yes, yes. I'll bring you home a pizza, okay? Just let me be quiet. Monkeys. Man, guys, sometimes you have to take risk, and this is a really big one that we're taking. Sometimes you take risk for good reasons, and sometimes we take risk just for not so good reasons. There was this one time when I was a little ranger and I thought, you know what? I see those monkeys climbing trees. I bet I can climb just as good as they can. So you know what I did? I took my rope, I threw it up in the tree, and I started climbing up that tree. And then when I got all the way to the top, I decided, yeah, it doesn't look that high. Maybe I should just jump off. I mean, have you ever heard of flying monkeys? Oh, yes. Well, I was going to be a flying ranger. But I didn't fly. And I fell down and I broke my leg. That was not a smart or good risk. But this, guys, this risk we are taking to help all the monkeys. I think that sometimes if we're taking a risk for God, then it's gonna be okay because he's gonna look out for us. What, how do I know that's true? Man, that's an easy one. I read about it right here, right in the Bible. Remember, everything in the Bible is true. Oh, you guys don't know about that story? I'll tell you what, I think we have a little bit of time before the lions and the hyenas go away. So while we're sitting here, while we're being quiet, let's open up our Bible and find out if it's okay to take risk for God.
We're continuing our epic adventures of God's people in the wilderness. Has anyone ever had to take a risk before? Maybe we needed to step out and do something and we weren't so sure about making that decision. See, risks are really tricky because we don't always know what to decide because we don't really know what's going to come next. But last week we learned about how we can trust God. And when God is in the picture, we never have to worry. And when God is in the picture, a risk for God is always worth it. It's always worth it. Today we're going to look at a story in Joshua chapter number 2. And in this story, Joshua has sent two spies into the land of Jericho. God had promised the people to take over that land, and God had commanded them to take over the land. But before they did, they were going to take a look at Jericho and what the land was like. So the king, unfortunately, found out the spies were there. He'd heard that the spies were there. They had gone to the house of Rahab, and she had let them into her house. So let's see what happened. In Joshua chapter 2, it says, so the king sent a message to Rahab. It said, bring out the men who came into your house. They've come to check out the whole land. But the woman had hidden the two men, and she said, it's true that the men came here, but I don't know where they had come from. So they left at sunset when it was time to close the city gate. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You might catch up with them. But in fact, she had taken them up on the roof, and there she had hidden them under some flax that she had piled up. So the story continues that Rahab hid them for the night so that they were able to be safe. She said to the spies, I have protected you. All I ask in return is that you protect me and my family. When you come into the land, keep my family safe. And the spy said, sure, you've kept us safe. We will keep you safe. So she let the spies down on a rope out her door, which was attached to the city wall. So they were able to be safe. See, the spies took a huge risk, but they knew that their job of looking out and spying on the land was very important. But Rahab also took a huge risk. She could have turned them in. That would have been the easier thing to do. She could have said, hey, yeah, they're right here. She might have even received a reward for doing that. But she took a risk because somehow she knew that God was the one true God and that she wanted to do what was right in his eyes. Sometimes, you know, I have a volunteer. Evan, we give Evan a hand. He's going to come and help me out today. Evan, are you really good at following directions, right? I think you're pretty good at following directions. Come stand right over here for me. All right. Evan, so first direction, I need you to pat your head. Can you pat your head? All right, now can you rub your stomach while you're patting your head? Can you do that? All right. Now I need you to hold your hand out really far, and I'm going to put a cup in your hand, and I'm going to take a cup. I need you to keep your arm straight, though. Hold my cup. Hold it up kind of high like this. Hold it up. Like, hold it. There you go. All right. And I have some water. Now, Evan, last week, the little trick I did, I had never done holding a microphone, so I did get a few drops of water on Lexi's head, but you still trust me this week, right? I mean, I have water, and I have a cup. I'm gonna pour some water in your cup. I'm going to pour some water in my cup. And here's what I need you to do, okay? I need you to, on the count of three, close your eyes. Okay, can you close your eyes? Now, can you turn around? Turn around. Keep turning. Eyes closed. Okay. Now, face. All right. You ready? Now, on the count of three, here's what we're going to do. You still trust me? We're going to pour our cups on our head. Okay? You still trust me, though, right? Hold your hand out really far. All right. Here we go. You ready? Let's count down. One, two, three. Pour your cup on your head. Pour. Oh, whoa. That wasn't very trusting. That wasn't very trusting. All right, Evan, I promise I wasn't going to get you wet, though. All right, you can go off the stage. What Evan didn't know was I had a sponge in the bottom of the cup, so he wasn't going to get wet, too. The sponge was soaking up his water, but it was pretty hard sometimes to take a risk when we don't know what's going to happen. Evan didn't know that I had a sponge that was going to keep him safe and keep him from getting wet. Excuse me, keep him from getting wet. That just is how it is with God. Sometimes maybe God, adults, he asks us to step out and do something different than we've never done before, and we're not sure about it, but we can always take risks for God because we can always trust God. Now, like Ranger G said, that doesn't mean we do dangerous things or things that are breaking the law, but sometimes we need to be able to take a risk to do something for God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you, we can trust you always. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom in how to make the right decisions and what risk that we can take. God, I thank you that we can trust you no matter what and that we can take risk for you. Help us to have faith and be courageous just like the spies were in Jericho. In your name we pray. Amen.
So the song says that mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, 'cause yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. I love this when y'all it says, and bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Say, we are here. Do, 'cause can do.
Praise the Lord. We need a move. Amen. We need a move. We pray for a move. We expect a move. Thank you, God, for sending a move. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Pay close attention to the words on the screen as this video is shared with you about a young boy named Cody. Pay attention to it.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride, don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. When you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. But when you dream, dream big. And when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, 'cause it will carry all your cares away. And when you see, see the beauty all around and in yourself, and it will help you feel okay. And when you pray and pray for strength to help you carry on, and when the troubles come your way. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big. And when when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, cause it will carry all your cares away. And when you see the beauty all around and in yourself, and it will help you feel okay. And when you pray for strength to help you carry on, and when the troubles come your way. And when you dream big, as big as the ocean blue. 'Cause when you dream, it might come true. When you dream big.
Notice what it said. When you dream big. Why? Because it just might come true. Can you imagine obstacles like this young man faced in his life? You know, I've often heard people pray, you know, God, I thank you for waking me today. Thank you, God, that the activity of my limbs is normal. Come on. How many times do we take things for granted? We take things for granted. And when we look at someone like this young man who was faced with a tremendous obstacle and in his life had some 30 pairs of legs. Can you imagine? You know, you got the same pair. Come on, how many of y'all got the same pair of legs? Come on, there might be one or two in the building that might have had an adjustment. Amen. I've been having a little clicking in my knee, and I told my wife the other day, I said, you know what? I know a lot of people have been getting these knee jobs. I sure hope I'm not destined for a knee job here because I'm getting a click when I'm walking. And I don't know how to adjust it myself, so I've just been praying, hey Father, you know, touch my knee right now. I don't need a knee replacement. I need a replacement divinely in my knee right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're just believing God for that. We've been talking about the churches of Asia Minor, a section in the Book of Revelation that I never get tired of, because literally, these words, the words that we've shared the last several weeks, last week I was on the last church in the chronological order, but not the last church. Today we have the last one, which is the sixth in the list of seven. It's the church at Philadelphia. I've simply titled the message today, A Little Strength. Come on, say that with me, A Little Strength. How many of you feel in your life like there's, you know, the challenges that we've been in, the COVID-19, the rise of issues in our culture and our society have just, you know, added more stress and pressure? How many of you feel like sometimes you just feel like every bit of the strength that you have as a human, and especially as a Christian, that you feel like it's just been squeezed out of you? Come on, just be honest. You know, it's just been tough. You know, I've heard preachers say this, and I firmly believe it, that one of the greatest tactics of the devil in these last days, and I know everybody, you know, from up to now has believed they've been living in the last days. In fact, if you read the Bible, you will realize that Paul believed that he was living in the last days. Amen? But one thing I notice about these days in which we live is that it is the Antichrist spirit that literally squeezes the juice out of you as a believer. If you discover yourself being very tired, if you get to the weekend and you know, it's kind of like you hang your head up from the typical Monday to Friday, and then you get to the weekend and you think, oh, how many of you wake up sometimes Sunday morning and just say, you know what, I just don't feel like doing church today. Come on, just, can y'all be honest with me? Come on, just raise your, how many of you besides me, you know what, I said that this morning. I just don't feel the energy this morning. But you know what, it's not based on my feelings. Come on, the church is not based on my feelings. The church is not based on my posture, my position. The church, listen, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word's never going to die. And he's fulfilling things right now, even in the midst of challenging times. God is fulfilling things that have to be fulfilled as it relates to his what? His church. Amen? And so listen, you can feel good. You can feel like, hey, I'm looking forward to this. I was glad when they said it to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Or you can feel like, man, I think I'm just going to roll over and just kind of catch it on the television today. I hope you don't do a lot of that, because there's a lot of power and strength in gathering together in the same room. Come on, amen? There is. There's a lot of strength. You get to fellowship with believers of like precious faith. You get to rub shoulders with the saints. You get to lay down your tools and not worrying about your steps being redone there on the bank of the river. You know, you get to lay down your tools and rest today. Today is a day of what? Worship. Today is a day of rest. Today is a day that's Sabbath. It's holy unto the Lord. Today's a day that we've set aside to honor Him. And so God's going to speak to us through His Word today. I want you to hang on to that adage this morning, a little strength. God is speaking to John in this last church that we'll cover, number 6 on the chronological list, the Philadelphia church. In Revelation chapter 3, the verses are 7 to 13. He simply says here to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, I'm reading from the NIV, these are the words of him, verse 7, who is holy and true, who holds the key. Remember that. He holds the key. What are keys a sign of? I don't have any keys in my pocket. Yeah, I got a keys in my pocket. What are keys a sign of? Authority. Thank you. Keys are a sign of authority. Now, does that mean a lot of keys means a lot of authority? Sometimes it does, but sometimes it just means a lot of keys mean you forgot what they went to. Come on. You don't really know what they went to. I was cleaning up just a couple of weeks ago, and I had a whole ring of keys that I threw away because I had no idea what they went to. Amen? We change locks. We sell something. We get rid of it. I was even cleaning out my key box, and I found keys to vehicles that I sold a long time ago. If I knew where they were, guess what? I could crank that thing up and take it for a ride. Why? Because I had the authority to do so in my hand. But not really, because the real authority is in the title of the owner, right? But keys are a sign of authority. Look at what he says here. He says he holds the key of David. That's powerful. What he opens, nobody can shut. Listen, doors that are opening right now for you cannot be shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I was talking to my son just a couple of days ago. Pastor Josh and I were talking, and we were talking about the fact that there, I don't know if, listen, I don't want you, not trying to just remind you of this, but listen, it's just a reality. We're just weeks away from these guys taking off, and they won't be a part of Carpenter Shop International Church any longer. Come on, join me and say, But guess what? Guess what my son said to me? He made a statement of faith. Him and I were just hanging together, and he made a statement of faith. He said, you know what? God spoke to me before there was ever even an awareness of a pandemic. And he said, so just because we're going through what we're going through right now, he said, it doesn't mean God's changed his mind. And so it takes more faith for this family right here on the front row to your left. It takes more faith for them to pack everything right now and go to one of the hot spots in America right now, the state of Washington. It takes more faith. But guess what? God, the one who opened the door, is the one who has the authority, and he's the one who spoke, and they're the ones who heard, and they're just going to follow him. Why? Because he can be trusted. Come on. He can be trusted. He holds the key of David. And when he opens a door, he opens a door. And when he closes a door, he closes a door. He says, I know your deeds. See, I placed before you, here we go, an open door. No one can shut it. And I love this part. Don't forget this. I know you have what? A little strength. I know you have little strength. But don't worry. Because you've kept my word. You followed me. You've heard me. You did hear me. How many times have you heard God speak something to you, and then just about the time you get up to the reality of it coming to pass, you start to second guess yourself and wonder, is this really God? Come on, anybody else besides me? I sure have. But God's the one. God's the one who opens the doors. And when he opens doors, no one can shut them. Amen? He says, you've kept my word, not denied my name. and I'll make those. I look at verse 9, I think, what are we talking about here? I look at verse 9 and I see this. He says, I'll make those who are of the synagogue of Satan. Well, who said anything about the devil? That's because that, listen, here we go. Look at the progression of what is being said here in these verses. When the time comes when God opens doors for you, and when the time comes when God closes doors and makes a path for you to march forward in His will, you can rest assured, you can be guaranteed that the devil, who's of the synagogue of Satan, those people that are getting in your way, will try their best to deter you, to discourage you, to frustrate you, to cause you to doubt what you've heard from the Lord. He said, I'll make those who are of the synagogue of Satan. How could he do that? Because he is the ultimate, come on, authority. He's the key holder. He's the key holder of this earth. He's the gatekeeper of this world. He has the authority. And he says, I'll make those who are of the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they're not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you, since you've kept my command to endure patiently. I'll also keep you from the hour of trial. Check this out now, especially you preachers, teachers, theologians in the house. He said, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. What does that do to you eschatologically? Well, Pastor, you're speaking in tongues. What does eschatologically mean? That has to do with end times. Eschatology is the study of what? Last things. It's the study of last things. So he says, what does he say here? He says, I'm going to make sure that you are kept, somebody say kept, from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. What's he talking about? He's talking about that 7 years of tribulation. That time that is literally hell on earth. Some of you are thinking, well, man, the last couple of weeks, you know, America's been all just all messed up. Can I just tell you something? Mark this down in your heart. It's going to get worse. Okay? You say, well, man, what do you mean? You called me out here at 10 o'clock this morning. We've had a good time. We watched Ranger G. He's talking to his monkeys on the banana. He's ordering pizza from Papa John's for the people of the promised land. You know, now you're going to tell me it's going to get worse. Let me tell you one more time. It's going to get worse on the earth. And you don't have to be around. God's made a plan for you. You know, just for information's sake, I've scratched my head a lot here in the last several weeks and months. In 2020, it's been, what a year. 2020, a year of what? Clarity and vision? Really? Really clear vision? I'm confused, okay? Because I've lived, Aubrey, my life. I've lived my life as a pre-tribulational rapture guy. I've lived my life saying, you know what? When the hardship comes, this church is going to be, we're out of here. Evidently, we're not in hardship yet. Okay? Evidently, we're not quite at the door, but the birth pains are there. We're not at the door for this world to come to a close. But yet, are we? How far away are we? I can't tell you that. But I do know this. We're closer now than we were in 2019. We're closer today than we were last week. Every day is a day closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which behooves you and I to do what? To be ready. How do you prepare yourself? You get your heart aligned with the character of God. You get your life transformed by the blood of Jesus, and you live a life in accordance to His plans and His purposes that are unfolding in His Word. I'm going down a different journey, guys. I feel it in the Holy Ghost, so just bear with me today, okay? We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And we need to make sure, you know, sometimes we get a little comfortable in our situation. Sometimes we pat ourselves on our spiritual back and we think we're all that in a bag of chips. We just think we got it all in order. Can I just tell you something that is a good thing to do? It's a good thing just to take spiritual inventory. Yesterday, my family, we sat around the table,
My family's here today. You guys glad to see my family? My whole family is right here. Amen. We sat around the table. There were times in the morning we sat around the table and we literally wept at our table. We wept at our table. What were you crying for? Somebody get hurt? No. We were crying because of the horrible situation that our earth is in today. And we were weeping because there are some people who just don't get it. You know, I'm convinced the church has people in it that don't get it. Amen? We got to make sure that our hearts are pure before God. Amen? That we're clean. That, you know what the evidence is of a life that has been given to Jesus Christ? The evidence is a life transformed by His power. A life, the Bible says, Paul said this. He said, old things will pass away, and everything about you will become what? New. Everything about you will become new. You and I should have new understanding, new thought, new perspective, new ideas, new feelings, new opportunity. Everything about us should be a constant development because of the transformation of our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, when you study his life, you know what? Paul was a man who hated Christians. The Bible says in the book of Acts that he breathed out threatenings and slaughter against God's people. Every breath about him was to kill those who were Christians. But the Bible says on the way to Damascus, that the Bible says the light of the Holy Spirit shone around about him. And he had a divine encounter with the God of this universe. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask my online audience a question today? Have you had such an experience? Or did you just walk into the local church one day because it's a good thing to do? People go to church on Sunday and you just kind of put your name on the roll because everybody else was. Listen, if you haven't had a divine moment, if you haven't had a Damascus Road experience, then you need to be concerned. You must have a born again. A man who was a master at the law couldn't get this. Nicodemus, he couldn't understand. Why are you talking about this born again stuff? Is it possible for me that I enter back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? But you know, we must be born again. The Bible says you must. And when you're born again, you know what happens? Your life is transformed by the power of the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ died for you and that he now takes residence in your heart and righteousness is imputed unto you through his shed blood. I don't know about you, but that's, to me, that's just kind of amazing. Wonder why we sing Amazing Grace. Come on. Why? Because it is amazing that our life could be that transformed. The old man dies and the new man rises, and we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Why don't you take a moment and just thank the Lord for that? Come on. Thank the Lord that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that the old man has died and you have been resurrected to new life. That's when we water baptize. It's what it is. We're not washing sin away. When we water baptize, we're simply given an outward expression of an inward change, that the old man has been buried and the new man is rising up into the newness of life that comes through Christ Jesus. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be a Christian. I'm thankful to be a born-again Christian. And you know what? There are times in my life as I inventory. I asked you to do that a moment ago. Inventory. It's a good thing for us to inventory. Just kind of check and see what we have and what we don't have. Kind of check and see what we need to order in our lives. Lord, give me some patience. Give me some kindness. Give me some gentleness. Give me some understanding, some goodness. Give me some grace. Give me some mercy. We inventory and see what we have or what we need to order. Amen. And we take an accountability of our life. I don't know about you, but that's a good thing for us to do in this season of our life. The Bible tells us that if we have this hope, what do? We take inventory how often? Every day. We look into our lives and we inspect our own life. And that's what God wants us to do. And he's talking to a people here, and he says to them, listen, I'm the one who holds who's holy and true, and I'm the one who holds the key of David. Verse number 7. He said, I hold the key of David. I hold the key of David. And what I open, nobody can shut it. And what I shut, nobody can open it. Then he addresses the church with his normal authority. I love this. He says he's the epitome of holiness and truth. He's true. He's the word. John declared in the opening verse of his gospel. He said in chapter 17, verse 17, he said, later sanctify your people with truth because, Lord, your word, O Lord, is truth. You're the one who holds the key of David. Jesus comes from the house and the lineage of David. Remember the Christmas story? His parents were from the line of David. They made their way to Bethlehem, house of bread, because they were from the line of David. And they were on their way to do what you just did a few weeks ago, hopefully. What did you do? You filled out your census report. You didn't have to go back to the place that you were born, but in those days they did. They had to travel back. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have the little thing. You couldn't go online, www.census.gov, and fill out your report in just 10 minutes. They traveled back to that place. Why? Because they were from the lineage of David, and they had to go back there. And so that's what they do. That's what they do. He was from the throne of David. Luke 1:32. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord will give him the throne of his father, ancestor, David. Who's on the throne today? Jesus Christ is on the throne. Who's the one that has all authority today? Jesus Christ has all authority today. Even though this world is in a mess and everything seems to be going here and there, and whoever, who knows? Jesus is in control. Don't you think for one instant that God has slumbered and fell into a sleep and doesn't know what's happening. He's very much in control of his life. Be encouraged, household of faith. Be encouraged, believer. Be encouraged, child of God. Listen, he's not left you. He's never gonna leave you nor forsake you. He is in control of this earth today. He's still on the throne. No one can pluck him off the throne. Come on, somebody. He's in charge. And he knows where you are. He knows where you are in your wavering or in your consistency. He knows where you are. And he's the door. You came to the kingdom through him. He is the door. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who's leading you. He's the one who's guiding you. Again, here in our text, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7 says that when he opens that door, no one can shut it. He opened the door of salvation for you. And what you're doing and what I'm doing is walking out your salvation on this earth every day that you live. Aren't you glad that you're a part of the kingdom of God? Come on. You should be in a position today where you, like these ladies portrayed a moment ago, God, we need a move of the Holy Spirit upon this earth because we are a part of the kingdom of God. I remember traveling just a couple of years ago in a small airport. I had the privilege of traveling many times in my life in ministry. 29 countries I've been in as God's graced me with a kind of opportunity. And so I've had many occasions to be in and to be out of many airports in many places. And I happened here on this last journey a while back, I happened to be in one of those small airports. And what I really don't like about connecting flights is major airports. How many of y'all been to an Atlanta? Come on. How many of you been to Chicago O'Hare, Dallas? You know, I've been to those places that are major spots. And, you know, you look at your tickets, you know, you look at it on your phone and say, oh, yeah, we're going to land about 10:30, and I got an 11 o'clock flight. Yeah, I got plenty of time to get me a hamburger. Not necessarily. You might if you land in Norfolk because you land out of one and you walk down the corner, take a left, and you're at the other place where you hop on. But not so in Atlanta. It might mean escalators. It might mean buses. It might mean elevators. It might mean 45 minutes to an hour and a half. When you get off that plane, honey, you better make your way just as fast as you can. And when you find the door and the place and the gate that you're supposed to be, then you look at your watch and say, do I have time for a hamburger or a Starbucks? How many of you have ever been in that spot where you're running for all you're worth and you're running like a fat man out of shape. Come on, can you relate to that? And you're running for all you're worth, and you finally get there, and nobody's out there in the corridor. Nobody's out there, and you look, and you say, flight, right flight, yeah, walk down there. And you get in there, and they look, and they say, Mr. Phillips? And you say, yeah. You say, you better get on here, sir. And you find one seat on the plane. I've been there before. And I sat down and hear the boom. You know what that was? That was the shut door that I barely made. Now, let me tell you in all honesty, I've huffed and puffed and run like a fat man out of shape, and I've missed the door. Anybody ever missed a flight? Come on. Have you ever felt any more powerless in your life than when you miss the flight and you look out the window and, man, they're in the air now. Delta's like a big bird flying to that destination that you were supposed to go to. You missed it. Can I just tell you today, listen, take your walk with God seriously. You don't want to miss the door. You don't want to miss that opportunity to be in the presence of God for eternity. You don't want any of your friends to miss that. You don't want your family members, who some of you don't get along with. I know that. Why? Because I don't get along with some of mine. You don't want to miss that opportunity. You don't want anybody to miss that opportunity. Introduce them to the key of David. Introduce them to the divine authority, Jesus Christ, who has the authority to open the doors of salvation for you and to seal you in, shut the door and seal you in. Once that aircraft door is closed, it's not opening. Jesus talks about this power and calls it the key of David, to open the door of salvation for you that not a single man on this earth can shut. And to shut the door that not a single man can open. In other words, he's saying, I am the key. I love what Paul said in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else of all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Listen, this world may be going through hardship and difficulty right now, but you know what? It can't separate you from the love of God. It can't. It can't separate. You are in the cleft of the rock. You are in the hands of the righteous one. And every day you should rejoice that God is in control of your life, that you surrendered your life to Him. And no matter what happens on this earth, you are safe. The righteous run to Him. Why? He's a strong tower. And they run to Him and they find safety and blessing and peace and assurance no matter what's going on in this world. Oh, Pastor Wallace believes in eternal security. Well, you can say that. I believe that if, hear me, there's a qualifier, if you are truly born again, nothing can pluck you out of His hand. Amen? Nothing can pluck you out of His hand. The problem we have in the church at large today is that churches have been graced with people whose lives, if we back up 5 minutes in my message, have never been through a transformation. We got people sitting in pews today in churches all over America. They're there, but their lives have never been transformed. If that were the case, then we wouldn't have the same people coming to the altar over and over and over and over again. And when you ask them, how can I pray for you today? I need to give my heart to Jesus. I thought you did that Sunday before last. I thought you had your divine moment. I thought you had your transformation moment. You say, Pastor, really, really, are you being that strong today? Absolutely. I think we've got a lot of people in the so-called kingdom today, the church, that they've given their lives to Christ. They've responded to conviction. But if you've never really allowed the Lord to transform your life, then it's possible that you're nothing more than the name on a membership. Y'all not shouting me down this morning for some reason. It's just true. Our lives should be, listen, we are what? Christians. Did you see my little Facebook post yesterday where my little 5-year-old granddaughter said, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Ava, that little thing that you did yesterday,
You wouldn't want to do that live right now, would you? Would you want to do that in Pop's microphone right now, live? I'm a Christian, the little thing that you did for Pops. Could you do that? You want to do that for me? Can you do it? Huh? You want to do that up here for me? I'll give you a chance to speak in my microphone. Y'all want to hear Ava do that? Come on, Ava. Come on, girl. I'm a Christian. All right? I'll hold the microphone for you. You can just do it, okay? Do I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian. Simple with the God, I'm forgiven. It's relationship over religion. Jesus gave me purpose, now I'm mission. Now I'm living. I'm a Christian.
Amen. It's relationship with God, not religion. Jesus put my life on a mission. Guess what? I'm a Christian. You know, I pray that in the recesses of that little five-year-old heart, that, you know, that could become reality for her every single day she lives. She was at my house yesterday, and I said, you want to watch cartoons? Her dad says, she don't watch cartoons. Well, I'm used to that. My other kids don't do a lot of car watching. Their parents told us the same thing. Our kids don't watch cartoons. Okay, well, what did you do? How did we survive without Bugs Bunny? How did we do that? I don't know. And Roadrunner. But these kids, that their parents have done something that perhaps we may not did. Thank God for His grace. They are going before these children because they don't trust cartoons. And they're making sure that what they do listen to aligns itself with wholesome things, good things. Think on these things, true things. And so it's so important. So they spend their time learning Christian principles, learning biblical things, learning godly things, and they're building a foundation. I pray that that reality, I'm a Christian. My life is a mission. It's relationship with God, not religion. Come on. I can't even rap like Ava can. I don't know. I don't have it, Ava. I'm sorry. And I put her on the spot, but, you know, when she did it on the video yesterday, she was a little more into it. You see? But that's where it needs to start. In our hearts, we need to be embedding that into the lives of our children. Paul said, when you truly come to Jesus, he said everything changes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new has come. God help us to fall in love with the new. It may not look like the world wants it to look. It will not look like the world wants it to look. But we need to walk in the newness of life. We need to have not a church mindset, but a kingdom mindset. There is a difference, beloved. There's a difference in a church mindset and a kingdom mindset. We must be of His kingdom. Listen, I love the Assemblies of God. Some of the Assemblies of God leadership may be watching me right now. They know this. They feel the same way. I'm not married to the Assemblies of God. I'm married to the God of the Assemblies. He's more important than any denomination, any organization, is to have relationship with God, to be a person of the kingdom, the domain, the rulership of God Almighty. That's the most important thing. Amen? You got to have an encounter with Christ. You have an encounter with Christ and realize that your desires, your perspectives, your heart, everything about you is changed. He's the one who's writing this transformer. He's the one who's writing to this church. This church that is different from the other churches. You know, as I look at these seven churches and I look at the indictment that Jesus has on him. He says, you know, you did this well, but I have this against you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But this church don't get that. This church don't get that. He doesn't say, nevertheless, I have this against you. He never says that. He says, I know your deeds. Verse 8. I know your work. I know your labor. I know your witness. I know your outreach. And the wonderful thing here is he doesn't say this to them, I know your deeds, yet I have this against you. He doesn't say that. He doesn't correct them. He only commends them. Out of the seven, this church, the church at Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, he can speak to them and say, you know what? You are a faithful church. You're a faithful church. You're a faithful battalion of believers who are standing in the midst of very adverse situations. That's kind of, you should be able to understand that. Because you're a part of the church, not Carpenter Shop, the church, okay? You're part of the church, and you're living today in a society that has very adverse situations. You feel confused. Some of you don't know if COVID's real or if it's not, if the mask should be worn or it should not, if there really is a virus or no, it's a bacteria or no, I'm not sure what. You're confused. But can I just tell you something? That's okay, because the kingdom of God is not confused. The kingdom of God is very steadfast, immovable. The kingdom of God is strong. The kingdom of God is in good standing. The kingdom of God doesn't have questions. The kingdom of God doesn't have these arguments of two media presentations who play back and forth on national television like ping pong. One says this, the other says the exact opposite. The kingdom of God's not like that. The kingdom of God is unshakable. Come on. The kingdom of God is unshakable. And guess what you signed up for? A kingdom that is, oh, come on, somebody. A kingdom that is unshakable. You signed up for that, so you don't have to worry when the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket. You don't have to worry. You're not a part of this world. You're a part of the kingdom of God, this unshakable kingdom. That's what you're a part of. That's what you're a part of. Every nation, tribe, tongue, and language is a part of it. Everyone. Those who speak languages that you don't have a clue what they're saying, they're a part of the kingdom. Those with ethnicities that you've never heard of, they're a part of the kingdom. Jesus is their Lord. Jesus is their Savior. Jesus is their Master. They are a part of the kingdom of Almighty God. And he says to this kingdom, he says to this church in verse 8, musicians, you can come join me. He says, I know where you are. I know you have little strength. I know you have little strength. Can I tell you some words that have been uttered out of my mouth just days, just this week? Listen, somebody said to me, Pastor Wallace, what I love about you is that you just cut it straight and you're transparent. That's one of the reasons that I feel like I've been successful here in this city. Is because I'm willing to be transparent. Can I just tell you what I said to my wife one day this week? She said, how are you feeling today? You know what I said to her? I said, I am depressed. I'm depressed. How many of you can say that you understand what I mean when Pastor says, I'm depressed? You ever felt depressed? Can I just tell you something? There's nothing wrong with feeling depressed. But there's something wrong when you're depressed and you never seem to get out of your depression. That's a different animal. I've never been there. My wife said to me, what are you depressed about, honey? And what is our just gut level honest feeling, our honest answer? What do we usually say? Really, I don't know. I just feel the pressure on my emotions. I feel the indifference. I feel the hardship about life. I have no reason in the world to be feeling depressed. I've been born again, washed in the blood. I have a beautiful wife. I have three wonderful kids. I have a tremendous tribe of grandchildren that I love more than I do the kids. That I just do. Lord, I confess it. I love these little ones more than I love Cassandra. I love them more than I love Joshua. I love Ava more than I love her mama. I do, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. Don't you want me to tell the truth? I love you, Jeremy. But I don't love you like I love your daughter. I'm sorry. So I know it's going to cost me when I go to lunch today. They're going to say, Pops, I love you. And I'm going to pull out the cash.
Why? Because grandparents give money to their grandchildren. Amen. Yeah. And I got so caught up in my grandkids, I forgot where I was even going. Okay. Thank you. You know, I don't have any reason to be depressed. I got the salvation that comes from Jesus. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I can, when I don't know how to pray, I can speak a language that somebody else in the world might understand, but I don't. I've got beautiful kids. I've got grandchildren. I live in a house that I don't deserve. I live on the water. My blood pressure goes down just standing on the bank of my home. God gave that to me. I have a wonderful church. I have the best church east of Interstate 95. Nobody has a church like this. We're a miracle every time we gather. Folk are fighting about stuff that we don't fight about. Okay? You had so much variety in this service today. It looks like you were at a menu at a smorgasbord. You had monkeys. You had Papa John's. You had worship dancing. You had a man talking through a banana. You got a preacher in blue jeans and a checkered shirt with a tattoo on his arm. You got so much variety, you don't even have a clue. And it shouldn't work. But hear me. When God is in the middle of it, and He's the foundation, everything's going to be all right. Amen? Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not worried. You know what that depression is that I walked through this week? I experienced it. It was a spiritual battle. I got hit right in the gut this week as a preacher of the gospel. Multiple ways. I got hit right in the gut. Many things, many different categories. I got hit right in the gut. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? I said, this is a spiritual battle. And then we talked to Josh and Cassandra. And Josh was telling me an encounter that he went through earlier this week. And I said, son, I know what you're talking about, man. I said, you know what? It's spiritual. What happened to you guys the other night is spiritual. I know you laugh, but it's spiritual. It is. It's spiritual. Because you know what the enemy wants to do? He knows Wallace Phillips is not a candidate to go down to the First and Maple and buy a snort of cocaine or a crack rock. I'm not a candidate for that. So he has to reach in his toolbox and pull out another tool that will work on me. And it's called distraction. It's called depression. It's called feelings. He has to reach down because he knows I'm not going to go do something stupid like get a fifth of Jack Daniels and just shut myself in the house. I'm not going to do that. Those are things that God ripped out of me in that transformation I was talking about. Come on, how many of you have been transformed and God's changed your life? And some issues are not issues for you. So when the devil comes to shake your stuff up, he's got to find a different tool to get to you. He may come to you through relationships. He may come to you through hardships and difficulty. He may come to you through a bad report at the doctor's office. But one way or another, he's going to try to deter you and distract you and get you off the path. But can I tell you something? You got a little strength. If you'd have ever told that young man he'd be swimming in an Olympic-sized pool with two little nubs from his waist down, somebody would have said that's a lie. He can swim better than I can, and he don't have any legs. Why? Because he has a little strength, a little determination. I believe I'm talking to some people in the room this morning that you maybe feel like you're snuffed out this morning, but I'm here to tell you, you got a little strength. If you got a little strength, stand up this morning right where you are. You may feel like Cody today. And you may go through another pair of legs and another pair of legs and another pair of legs, but at least you're standing up. They may not be the legs you were born with, but you're standing up and you're walking and you're standing up right before God who saved you. Why? Because you've got a little strength. Verse 8.
come on, don't miss this. I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door, and no one can shut it. I know you have little strength, but you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. I'm going to read on through here. I got a bunch of pages of notes you're not going to get. I'll make those who are of the synagogue of the devil, I'll make them come, and you know what I'll make them do? I'll make them fall down at your feet and worship. I'll make them fall down at your feet and acknowledge that he's one that I have loved. He's one that God has loved. He's one that God has kept. They'll give the worth where the worth is due. He said, I'll make that happen. Verse number 10. Since you've kept my command to endure, what are you and I called to do in this wicked time? Endure. I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial. Oh, this is trial. I know that it is. But it's not the trial of all trials. Because I'm going to come and the whole world is going to be tested. Verse 11, look at what he says. You know what I'm doing? I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Come on, hold on to that little strength that you have. Hold on to it. Don't let anybody take your crown. Don't let anybody infringe upon your relationship with me. Why? Because the one who's victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. You know what the Spirit is saying to the church today? You might feel like Cody today. You might feel like you've been cut off at the knees. And you can hardly walk out your faith in this wicked world in which we live in. The Lord says to you today, you got the strength. It might just be a little strength, but you got the strength. And you're going to endure all the way to the end. Is there anyone here this morning you'd say, Pastor, there's just some things I got to get right between me and Jesus. Can I see your hand quickly? Come on, don't make this a game. Just be honest. Is there someone here this morning? Pastor, there's just some issues I got to get straight between me and Jesus. Anybody? Raise your hand quickly. All right, God sees your hand. Come on. Come on down. Come on down. Preachers, help us here. Prayer people. Come on. Come on, sir. Come on to the front. Anybody else? God's working on me, Pastor. Just raise your hand quickly. Come on, raise your hand quickly. Just raise your hand quickly. God's working on me. Just come on. Come on, Jimmy, let us pray for you, friend. Pastor Mikey's right behind you there. Just come on. Just get it straight. Just get it straight. Get it straight. Because when you get it straight, you know what happens? I just read it to you a few moments ago. Old things go away. All things become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You just get it right. Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else? Would you just for a few moments, as the worship team leads us, would you just transform your little pew that you're sitting on? Would you just transform in that into a holy altar before your God? Just let that be an altar right where you are. And just, Lord, as we lift our hands right now, let us examine ourselves. Let us just come before you clean and truthful and honest. Let us give an account of our spiritual house. Lord, do the work in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Sing it, guys. Sing it.
You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy.
Come on, church, pray.
You come back and you call it my victory. go before I know that you've even bought to win. My love becomes my greatest defense. Gets me from the dry.
Brother Drew Berry, the word of the Lord to you today. This passage of scripture could have been preached any one of 50 Sundays in a year, but it's preached on a Sunday that you're here, okay? And the specific phraseology of that word, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. This transition that you're in the midst of right now, I hear the Lord saying to you that you'll be tried in that, and the pressure will come. It's almost like Jesus and Peter having that conversation. The enemy has come to try to sift you as wheat. But the Lord says, Drew, I've prayed for you, and your faith will not fail. In fact, your faith will be the very force that pushes back darkness where God has planted you. Your faith will be the very force that pushes back darkness that is already there before you. And God chose you because he knows that you can handle what is before you. God chose you because angels of the Lord encamp around about you, and he set before you a door that no one, despite the pressure you face, could ever shut. And he will accomplish the plans and purposes for which he sent you there in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand of praise, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord. Sing it one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When I thought of me, you knew where I was. You introduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the friend of my heart.
Oh, hallelujah.
Say hallelujah. You have saved me so much better way. Oh, hallelujah. Great defender, so much better this way.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for being our great defender. Thank you, Lord, that all we had to do was praise. All we have to do is worship. Declare your worth. Because you are the one who holds the key of David. You are the one who will cause our enemies to acknowledge that our lives are kept by you. You are the one, God, who opens doors that men could never shut and closes doors that no one could ever open. And Lord, you are the one that even when we get down to, here we go, a little strength, that we really have more strength than we can ever imagine. In my weakness, I'm made strong. In my weakness, I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave his life for me. In Jesus' name. Come on, declare that over your life today, would you? I got a little strength, but really when I'm little strength, I'm strong. Little is much when God is in it. Come on. Hallelujah. God bless you.